show, and I'm here dressed in pink. I don't know why, but the auto white balance doesn't seem to like this shirt much. I won't be wearing this again. We're here to talk the week in tech. We've got a fantastic panel. What a panel we have before us. Joining us from Iceland originally, but now Norway.
Sweden
even. It's Brekkie to us, and how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Just came off of a podcast run, recorded an hour and a half show just before this, so I'm warmed up and ready.
In my defense, they're like touching, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but so there you go.
And again, you know, so is England and Scotland.
It's not like I got it mixed up with Denmark.
You were Scot.
Yeah, but we're touching at least.
This is true. This is true.
And I knew you were from Iceland, so...
This is very true, yes.
Yes, there we go. So... You better be informed, mate, because I haven't done any prep for this and I haven't even seen the Google I/O thing, so I'm waiting for you boys to tell me what's going on. Joining us, another new boy, thanks to Wheaters, Callum Shepherd. How's it going, man?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good, thank you. Nice to be here.
Joining us from the east of Scotland.
I am indeed, yeah. I'm fresh in off the train about an hour ago as well, so timing. I'm glad you were late, because otherwise...
Mate, I'm never on time. This show's never on frigging time. What are we kidding about? Welcome return on 180 megabits down. Patrick Beja, how's it going, my friend?
Woohoo! 180. Can you imagine that? I'm incredibly proud.
Well, based on the crash out I just had, no, I can't imagine that.
I'm also even more proud that I can hopefully try at least to make up for running away like a common thief last time I was on the show, in the middle of the show.
Well, something obviously came up. That's okay. Don't worry, mate.
It did. But, you know, I felt bad for ever since. And now I'll be able to, you know, not feel bad. And next time you invite me, just say, no way. I don't owe you anything. Goodbye, sir.
Most people that have got a career in podcasting, career in inverted commas, run away from the show at some point anyway, so fear not.
Fair enough.
And last but by no means least, the man who smells the most of pig shit today, because he's been to the Royal Norfolk Show. Did you see any livestock that took your fancy, Mr. Wright?
I have not been arrested. I saw some culture, I saw some agriculture, and I saw some royalty, and I do not smell a pig.
Oh, who was the royalty? You know, Judges of Cambridge?
No, Prince Eddie.
Edward was there?
Yeah, I saw him. I saw the receding hairline.
I got the right county then. The right duchy.
He's not giving in, but I saw a bit of royalty today, you know, just strolling around, you know, but... Yeah, the Royal Norfolk Show. The Norwich people were out in force.
Excellent, mate. Jolly good. And did you get excited at the smell in the air?
Yeah, it really got me going.
I remember going with my mum and dad once. They went to a dog show, and it was at the Royal Agricultural Showground at Stoneleigh. And I'd smelt pig shit all day. And I'd smelt it so much, I stopped breathing through my nose and started breathing through my mouth. But then I realised that I tasted pig shit all day. I've never done it since. Yeah. I was only about eight. Yeah. But
no, you do get that when you eat your food.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Ask Ewan if he likes the idea. I'll have to read that when we're talking about something else, because I can't. I like the idea of most things. Right, the week in tech, it's been Google I/O, so I figure we're going to talk about Google I/O an awful lot. So for you guys, what was kind of your pick and miss of Google I/O? I only caught a little bit, and I've got to say, the watch really filled me with utter dread.
Well, can I pick that up? Because that is my story for the week.
Go on then, Wrighty.
Well, is the easiest one I can, you know, it's almost insulting that someone would pick it. It's kind of a cop-out, honestly.
It really is.
The French was just called you out, mate. That's per se.
Well, no. I put my story down to one single question, which is, did Google just kill the smartwatch?
Well, it looked pretty horrific.
But they did, because we've always said that if whatever Apple brings out, if it just did notifications and just told you what it's doing on the phone, it's dead in the water. And Google just came out and went, oh, here's the thing. It just tells you what your bloody phone does, which is what the Pebble does. And then they go on to show in Google I/O that you actually need to like launch apps in the phone to push them to the watch. And then so you're paying extra money to just go, oh yeah, yes, someone's calling me or someone's doing something. And it's the one thing that we never wanted from a smartwatch. We just, okay, yeah, because they were saying you can order a pizza from it and you can do recipes on it and all that sort of thing. And then the demonstration failed and it was an absolute nightmare. But it's the lamest excuse for a watch operating system ever, because one, it's been done, and it's the most predictable thing that anyone could have ever done with a watch operating system.
Patrick,
and they just killed the smartwatch dead.
Patrick, way in here, you're itching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not. I feel like I'm really not going to be interested in that watch. But still, this is so much of a, you know, character assassination. I sort of feel like I have to defend it a little bit. It's true that most of what it does is notifications, but the app thing is actually pretty interesting. It's the fact that when you install an app on your phone and it, oh my God, there's people singing in the street.
Oh, get your camera and go and show us.
I don't know.
Is it
Hare Krishna? Okay.
I think it's so wrong.
Anyway, sorry. I'm very sorry. Definitely something is going to be happening each time I'm on this show.
That's all right, mate.
Welcome to France, apparently.
Yeah.
Wait to hear Brian Chaffin tomorrow on the Max Show. Christ, that's going to be fun.
So, what I was saying is the app thing is actually pretty interesting. It's when you install an app on your phone that has a watch component, it automatically installs that thing on your watch. So you don't have to go and install it individually on the watch, which is going to be a pain anyway because of the size of the screen. And the other thing is, yes, it's true. It mostly does Google Now, which is a bunch of notifications. But it also does, how do they call it, voice commands or voice... Basically, you can talk to your watch, and Google, being so good at the Google Now voice queries, it also does that, and they already know how to work that and how to understand it. So yeah. While I'm not convinced about that, I will be interested in that kind of product. I think it's a little bit unfair to say that it only does show you the notification from your phone, because it does a little bit more. And also, by the way, Google Now is predictive. So it's not just what shows up on your phone as a notification. It also tells you stuff that it guesses you would like to know, and that would be useful to you.
Okay.
But it does nothing without the phone, though. That's the most frustrating thing about it, is the phone has to be in reach for it to actually work. You know,
does it even tell the time?
The most impressive device will be a device that works independently, because, you know, the Google Now stuff was great, but it failed on stage as well. The voice recognition failed on stage.
Fair enough.
The fact that it requires the phone. And all it's doing is, for whatever extra cost, you know, whatever the Motorola 360 and the Samsung phones, all it's doing is removing the action of putting your hand in your pocket and removing your phone and looking at it. That's all that the Android Wear does. And that is literally all it does.
Yeah, you can do actions to a limited degree, but it's true. Mostly it's that. But when do you not have your phone with you, though?
Well, exactly. I always have my phone with me, so I don't need to look at my watch. Well, I don't wear a watch because I can tell the time by pulling up my phone.
I'm not.
I don't mind putting my hand in my pocket and pulling my phone out. I don't need to look at my wrist to look at the time.
Thank God you said "and looking at my phone," because I don't mind putting my head in my pocket.
The only problem is if it picks up your cock ring on the way out, mate.
We weren't going to bring that into this, were we?
Batwitch has posted a thing to an Ansem's cock ring in the chat room, so that's what we were talking about before we started. That's where it's going from. Now, the thing is, I'm not one to say about you never take your phone with you, because I 3 days the other week, I walked out of the house without my bloody phone with me.
How's that even possible?
It must be possible because the phone wasn't in my frigging pocket. And interestingly, it wasn't when I wanted to make a call. It wasn't in my pocket when I wanted to take a picture.
Mm. Yeah, but if you had a Windows Phone equivalent watch, the watch wouldn't work because your phone wasn't with you. It's a dumb device without the phone.
Yeah. So, what? No, the camera's on the phone, dude.
No. But the fact of Android Wear is it's a dumb terminal without the phone. So if you'd had like a wearable device for your Windows Phone, you'd left your phone at home, the watch would be useless as well. The point.
So what you're saying is, hang on, what you're saying is, it's got no internet connection, therefore it's only guessing at the time unless it can connect to the phone.
Oh, no, because it's because the example they used was they were using the All Cooks app and the Lyft app that was using GPS to order a taxi, but it was doing everything through the phone. You know, all the intelligence of the device is coming through the phone. So you haven't got your phone on you. There's no, it's basically a dumb terminal. It's just an extra screen for your phone. The only point that wearables will ever become any use is when they can act independently of any other device.
That's a good point.
That's the problem. It's what the Pebble does now, you know. Right. Android Wear, it's shinier, it's more colourful, yeah, great. And they've got a round screen, fantastic. But
this is part of the reasons why I was also disappointed with it. I mean, the Withings just recently announced their own wearable electronics, the Withings Activité, which is basically it's their own version of wearables, and it tracks health things. It tracks your pulse, it tracks your movement, it tracks your sleep, and so on. And it does so as a very elegant wristwatch, and it doesn't need your phone.
It doesn't need your phone, right?
And that's the point. Because on this network and many other networks I've listened to, people are going, if Apple release a device that only gives you notifications, it's dead in the water. And then Google release a device that is completely reliant on the phone and only really gives notifications, which are pushed from the phone. The only point that wearables are going to be any use is when they act independently on their own.
I wouldn't say it's completely dead in the water, but it probably can't reach the kind of wide market that those kinds of companies would be looking for. It's not a very wide consumer product. I would definitely agree with.
So, but then again, would you want a SIM card in your wristwatch?
Well, that's what the chat room's saying. Jufro Jim says, we don't need a watch that links to our phone. We need a phone watch.
Yeah, exactly.
So you want a bit of Man from Uncle.
You don't want to start talking to your phone or plugging your headphones with your mic in your watch. I think the thing that if Apple manages to do something, and every time we talk about these things, we get back to Apple, but unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation and the industry, is that every time we've had a sort of emerging product that was having difficulty defining itself, it turns out that Apple came out and just did something with a slight difference, a slight twist that made it work for the wide public. We've seen this with, you know, MP3 players and the phone and the tablet and, you know, other things as well. Anyway, the wrist item that will end up working will potentially, I mean, possibly have a function that we didn't think we needed it for. And the thing that Apple seems to be going with, which is a very, very heavy and narrow focus on health, could be that thing. If all of a sudden that device is heavily focused on telling you things, giving you metrics about yourself that you couldn't have otherwise, it could have a use. But having a phone on your wrist, you already have a phone in your phone. I don't think you need a phone on your wrist.
No, but then the point is that it makes the phone the watch they released this week redundant, because you've got your phone. It's literally just a foot and a half extension from your pocket to your wrist. That's all it is.
It's a secondary interface to your phone.
And Samsung's already done that with the Galaxy Gear and their ties and watches as well. They didn't release anything revolutionary.
I heard the legality gear there, which is probably truer than you know. Go on. Sorry, Patrick.
You have to be careful about saying, oh, you know, Samsung already did it with the Gear, because a lot of people were saying, you know, anytime someone releases a product like that, that is only a little bit different from something that already existed. I mean, you could have said that about the iPhone. It's maybe not the iPhone, because it was really, it took everyone by surprise and everyone was, you know, fell in love, at least in the tech community from the get-go. But maybe for the iPad, everyone was saying, well, it's a big iPhone. What's the big deal, right, from the beginning? And there could be, I'm just trying to play, not devil's advocate, but, you know, trying to see the other side of the coin here. Mostly, I think I agree with you. So it's kind of weird for me, but I think you're hammering a little bit too much and not leaving the possibility for this to have an attraction or, you know, an interest that we're not seeing, because none of us have tried it, right?
Yeah.
We haven't. So, no.
Well,
maybe.
Well, what, else, What I'll say is at the point they were kind of talking about Android Wear, I was kind of really excited about it because I'm an iOS user, but I live in the Google world, and most of the apps I use on my iPhone are Google. And I was kind of like, oh, you really need to blow me away right now. And at the end of it, I just kind of thought, oh, you really kind of tell me what I because what I love from keynotes and things is them going, I'm going to tell you something that is going to completely change your life. And I was going, oh, it's just another one of those. And that's where it is. And it was the same with Android L as well. It was kind of like, we changed the design and all that sort of thing. It's not a kind of revolution. It's not revolutionary. That's the problem. And are we in a kind of world where we're at the kind of peak of the kind of technological kind of innovation that we have now, where it's kind of just like kind of incremental now, and there's no revolution coming from anything anymore.
Callum, if you're waiting for an invitation to speak, you're going to be here all frigging night, dude. You might as well just shove your way in with elbows flying. And Patrick, dude, are you using a set of ladies' tights as a pop shield on a coat hanger?
Yes.
You're rumbled! I got you!
You what?
I got you!
Yes. No, but these are a little bit legendary. They're the same ones. I might be shooting myself in the foot for professionalism there, but ones I've been using for 8 years since I started using, doing podcasting. So I think it might be time to change them soon.
Dude, I'm going to buy a pop shield and send it to you, but I've got to say, only a Frenchman would have a set of ladies' tights as a pop shield.
But it works! Isn't it like super clever DIY stuff? That's the way I'm going to change it.
No, it's just classic Frenchman. I've got women's tights as a pop shield. Well done. I mean,
I've got a pen holding up my mic stand because the spring is broken.
Yeah, dude, that doesn't have the cane kind of thing. It's just not.
I suppose not.
It's like a pocket protector, dude. I mean, are they worn ladies' tights or have you? No, that doesn't count if you wore them, Patrick. But
that
from a conquest. In that case,
I choose not to answer the question.
Oh, good man, Callum. Have you got an opinion? Or are you just going to sit and drink Jack all night?
Ladies' tights, or
I'm just gradually getting more drunk at this end.
Dude, you're a cheap date.
I like the concept. I think comparing it to what's out in the marketplace at the moment is probably a little bit unfair. What's out there just now are really sort of hack job implementations of Android and things like that.
Yeah, I thought rushed.
They're not that fantastic. The big sort of decider, I guess, for this is going to be the range on it. So how far away from your phone it can actually be, and also the battery life. So
yes,
if people are having to charge this every evening, it's going to go down like a ton of lead.
Well, they said it lasted a day.
The range thing right and the battery life right, you're probably onto a good thing with Google Now. The sort of notifications, I don't know how many of you guys are on Android versus iPhone, but Google Now is ridiculously good at predicting things. You approach a bus stop, you'll get notifications on bus times. Things like that just sort of make life so much easier if it's presented on your wrist.
So you're gonna
I just don't want to end up in a situation where I leave my phone on the charger in my office, and then I go to the bathroom and realize that my wristwatch is broken.
Your life would be if you didn't take your phone, though, so.
Yeah. Mac Vader says, weirdly enough, I've never worn drag clothing. Well, there you go. This is at first. I have no idea what that's apropos of, but never mind.
I would try it, mate.
So, did anything else happen at Google I.O.?
I'd like to comment on the conspicuous absence of Google Glass.
Well, it's gone live, though, hasn't it? There's Livestream have issued the software for it. So they're seeing it as imminently live.
It's in the UK now as well, though.
It's £100
last week.
£100.
I've seen a couple of people commenting that Google Glass and Google Plus were, you know, absent, and that was somehow a signal that Google, you know, hated the formerly Wonder Kids. I don't know. There was an enormous amount of things that they talked about on that show. It was honestly how long was it? Like 2.5 hours? And Apple's
longer
all the time. But WWDC is a developer conference, but it's kind of fun and exciting for everyone. And the Google I/O thing was really developer focused to the point that the last hour was really unintelligible for anyone who wasn't a developer, which is super good for developers. But as a blogger slash podcaster, it wasn't for us. So there was a huge amount of things that they talked about, you know, Android Auto, Android TV, Google Fit. They had announcements about Chromebooks, that material design for the latest release or the next release of Android, which is a complete redesign of the interface for Android. There was a huge amount of things to talk about. So I don't know that the absence of Google Glass meant that somehow they're forgetting about it or, you know, I don't think it's fair to read into it.
But Google have got a habit of walking away from stuff, haven't they? I mean, they walked away from the media center stuff. They've walked away from
Buzz,
yes. Plus has kind of really died a little bit of a death on that, and they've not bothered with it. They haven't mentioned Google Glass. They're going on about the cars because they want to push the cars forward, but eventually cars will just die a death as well. Android is something that continually ploughed time and resources into, but lo and behold, we're 5 years down the line ish 4 years down the line with Android. It still does nothing more than run a phone, and now it runs a watch, and it's probably a very hatcheted version, as Callum says, that's kind of crowbarred in there to make it run on the watch. They do seem to be a bit lightweight with tech, and I don't mean that.
What?
Wait. No, they come out with these innovations, but then they never see anything through. They're like a kid with ADHD. You can't tell me I'm wrong on that. They pick stuff up and they put it down.
Description. I don't think you're far wrong with that, to be honest. Google Plus is a prime example. It's only this week they've removed. So normally, when you searched for something on Google, you used to have the little author images. So you guys are probably aware of that if you're doing a bit of blogging. Mm-hmm. They've now removed those as well. So it's kind of like this Google Plus social spine, which they tried to bake in, they're now in the process of trying to crowbar back out again. It's quite interesting seeing it unfold, to be honest.
Patrick, you're holding your head in your hands when I was talking there. So, I mean, you clearly disagree. So, I mean, what have I said that's so wrong on that then?
Maybe I could go last because I feel I'm hugging the mic. So
okay, go on then. Who agrees with me and Callum?
I think I do. I think the absence of Google might not mean that they're killing the product, but at least it means that they're not innovating. They don't have anything new or interesting to say.
What's the change in the product line would be my point.
Right. I mean, it doesn't feel like they're actually pushing the product. They might be releasing it now in the UK and upgrading the firmware or something, but it doesn't feel like the push that they promised us a year ago.
No, I agree totally.
Well, they're not releasing anything yet. They're bringing the developer preview to more countries. That's a very different thing, right? So on Glass, it's sort of a separate question. And the other thing is that conference was incredibly heavily focused on Android development. Yeah. And they were bringing Android to everything. I mean, Android can be anywhere now. It's obviously the phone and the tablets and all of that, but also the Gear and Android Wear, which is very heavily connected to Android. And TV, which is, it's true that they've had tries and failed tries in TV before with Google TV and that dreadful Nexus Q thing, which no one knew what to make of. But this one is looking like at least it could be, you know, it's at least as good as all the others, right? And it's got an app store that is potentially very, very powerful already. That could be a very strong differentiating factor, and it wouldn't be very surprising if Apple announced, you know, in a couple of months their revamp of the Apple TV, which essentially would do the same thing.
Yeah, it's well overdue.
Yeah, exactly. And the Android Odo is also a version of this that works. There's a consolidation of the market that's happening in the automotive space as well. So Android is sort of becoming that de facto Google OS that is available everywhere and that is conquering the world. You know, I'm a very much iOS focused person, but I think it's very misguided to say that Android is not. I don't think that's what you said, so I might be mischaracterizing what you were saying, but it's absolutely being adopted by absolutely everyone everywhere. And saying that Google is sort of trying a couple of things and then abandoning them, the fact that they're, you know, giving up on products that are not taking off after having given their full strength for a couple of years, I don't think is a sign of weakness or should be looked down upon. Actually,
of course.
For Apple, giving up on something like Ping after having tried it for a year or something was a very courageous decision on the opposite. It did not work. They were like, all right, it didn't work. We're going to move on. Let's forget this ever happened. And people can point and laugh, but it's a much better decision to do that than to keep trying to push it, even though it's obvious that it's not working. And for Glass, again, they if you start listing all of the things that they didn't show in that conference and say, oh, they're abandoning this and it's a show of weakness, there's a bunch of things that you're going to estimate are a show of weakness. They didn't talk
absolutely.
About YouTube.
I mean,
they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's saying that, oh, no, they didn't mention Picasa, so Picasa is going away.
No,
but Google Glass has had this promise, but it's become this thing that, you know, those people wear. And they promised that they would sell a cheaper version back in 2013. That date slipped into 2014, and it's still just beyond the horizon. And they've promised so much with Google Glass and failed to deliver over and over again.
See, when you mentioned Nexus Q there, Patrick, the instant thing thought of me is the principle we've got here is they should release Google DoorStop. Because Google DoorStop is the thing that they release that they abandon, and it's only good for propping your door open after 2 years. And there's a lot of stuff that they've come out with that they have abandoned, but I think Brecky's the right on the Google I/O the Google Glass thing. That is an alpha product when it was first available at $1,500 to the US. It's now, you might suggest, a beta product with some upgrades that they've put into it, but you'd expect a beta product to get a mention a year later after the last time they mentioned it.
And especially when they build so much hype.
I've used it. I mean, I used it at Macworld. Very nice Chinese lady. Let me have a go with her Google Glass.
Oh, yes.
And I promptly broke it. I got to say, I thought it was horrific on your face. But the experience of what it provided you with when I did see something in the little lens thing was actually really good. And it was kind of cool. And I was thinking, well, if this thing's going to be mounted on the inside of the bar of my glasses and it's going to project onto my lens, and there's going to be some kind of reflective coating that'll push it back into my eye, and I'm thinking, yeah, that'd be fantastic. I'd have that in a heartbeat. They've got it. They've got to move that product into that kind of market. Otherwise, it's just a doorstop, the Google doorstop again.
Wow. Yeah.
For all that I'm saying about this doesn't mean that Google Glass is you know, dying or anything. I absolutely agree. I absolutely believe that it doesn't really mean a lot about Google Glass and that people are reading a little bit too much into it. But still, I think Google Glass is a product that was interesting to try, but I think they failed to show, again, what we were talking about when we were talking about the watches earlier. It's a cool product, a cool experiment, and geeks are certainly interested in seeing that. But I think they failed to define a use case for a wider market and for a consumer market, or at least for going beyond the super early adopters market. So in that sense, I agree that this is not, I wouldn't wear it on my face probably. I'd try it for a couple of hours and then that would be it. So if I'm saying that, and I'm an enormous nerd, probably means something.
It ever being taken as a developer program, because there's not that much development happening in relation to Glass. It is more enthusiasts. And I think, to be honest, with the way they priced it, it's more an exercise in seeing how people actually use it and how it's accepted, and if it's something that should actually be rolled out a little bit wider.
The value is user supplied data.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing with it. And they're not pretending they're doing something else, right? They're not saying this product is baked and ready to go. And yeah. And I think the big issue is they were thinking, all right, we've got a working prototype. It sort of functions as we wanted it to function. Let's see what people can do with it, and let's see what we can do with it. And I think, I guess I'm bringing a little bit of validity to your point, guys. It's they're finding out and they're discovering that there isn't much that you can do with it.
Yeah. I retweeted yesterday somebody called Sam Faulkner Biddle, who said that on a very fundamental level, Google doesn't get that people don't want to wear things on their body that look effing dumb and awkward. And I think that says a lot about Google Glass.
Yeah. Well,
that's wearables.
Yeah.
I think there was the famous website about white guys wearing Google Glass, and all it was pictures of white guys, and there was black guys using Google Glass, and there's one picture of one black guy wearing it, and that's it. And there's no pictures of any women wearing it. And you know, it is a bit of an eyesore, but there's an awful. I saw one in London a few weeks ago when I went to see Livestream actually and complain about the fact that the service is shite. And a guy walked past me, and I blarted it out. It was, no one's walking with me. I've got no one to share the conversation with. And he walked past me at Google Glass, and I said it out loud. So it's not...
You should have said, okay, Glass, open ujizz.com.
Yeah.
Is that a real site?
Yes, it is.
No, I just... But it,
or so I hear.
Okay. moving on. Jesus Christ, the content for children bit. We're going to have to go explicit. it's something which I recognize and I blurt out that I've seen it, but actually having worn it, it's not horrific to wear and it's not horrific to use and it's not horrific to see it on another person. It's just different.
It's going to take a while to get used to, definitely. No, I just don't see the wide market picking it up as a device that a lot of people use.
Well, I saw it, and the thing I'm trying to say is I saw it, and I was shocked that I saw it, but I wasn't shocked at seeing it in terms of the fact that it was on someone. What the hell have that person done to their face? You know, it wasn't that kind of stuff. It was like, I knew what it was. It looked fine. It looked like Google Glass does on all the images I've ever seen, and I looked like when I was wearing it, but it was just like, oh, God, I've seen Google Glass in the wild, you know? That was it. It wasn't.
I mean, it's interesting to think that the audience might actually be wrong for it as well. So if you imagine the ways that you could sort of use augmented reality or that sort of, or just generally using Google Glass, if you imagine in a workplace where it's picking out items when you're trying to pick things off a shelf, for example, there's very functional uses for using it. But again, like I mentioned with the Android watches, the Android Wear, it's battery life. So it lasts for such a small amount of time that it makes any sort of productive usage for work completely impossible.
Has anyone read Demon by Daniel Suarez?
No.
Because there's a bit in there where, I can't spoil it for you, but I mean, it's about a guy who dies right at the start, who's a computer genius, and effectively he set up an algorithm, a daemon, that will continue to run and work on predictions, and he sets up a whole secret network after his death through a multiplayer role-playing game. And one of the things he creates is a thing called D-Space, and these people get these glasses, and the D-Space is it clearly identifies who other people are who are in the network and who are outside the network, and individuals and key information about them and that kind of stuff. And all of this stuff is built up by this algorithm. And this thing was written 2009, so it was long before Google Glass came out. But D-Space, if they can get to D-Space, I'm in. I'm absolutely in. That's it.
Until then, I think we're going to see this more, you know, with bus drivers and taxi drivers providing up-to-date traffic information and so on. Mm. Those are use cases that I can see, but not for just everyday people walking around town and buying cock rings.
Yes. And as with all good jokes, we return back to the original joke.
Pull back.
The Bash is coming up. Yes, it's July the 11th and 12th. You've got to get your tickets. If you want curry... It's getting a bit late. There is not a lot left. I think we've got about four spaces left for the curry night. So you need to buy your curry ticket today. because I'm sure we'll have to take it offline before we actually get to the date of the curry. The bash, not so much. It's all right. We can get 200 people in there. And of course, we haven't got 200 people for the bash. But 11th and 12th of July, you're looking for accommodation in the B36 and B46 areas of Birmingham. The bash is, the curry's at B36 and the bash is at B46, but they're only like 2 miles apart. It's £10 for your deposit for your curry, but you get that back, comes off the bill. We get in there for about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Milan set the function room aside for us. There's going to be a whole pile of beers waiting for us and ciders and wines. And there's going to be starters laid out for us in tureens. So we can sit and pick at the starters if we want to have a little munchie, something to eat. And then we'll sit down and have the meal at the end. If you've got kids that are sort of under 12, under 10, bring them along and we'll sort the money out afterwards with that. It's not a problem. It's not free for kids. And the bash is free for kids. We've got loads of food. We've got loads of fun and games. We've ordered a whole party pack. We've got the World Card Cutting Championships again. Scarlett Neighbours defending her title. The 7-year-old that kicked the arse of every single adult that was there last year. And if you're under 16, it's free of charge for you. So get yourself down, buy your ticket online at britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets, and I can promise you, you will not have a better day. It is a fun, friendly, family day. It is not a geeks conference. We might do the odd podcast, and there's a bit of fun and games. Paul's got a competition for the pocket quiz coming out that we'll do at the bash, but we're not going to get too geeky over it all. And we'll have loads of fun in the sun, and it'll be grand. Get yourself.
But will you have Google Glass announcements?
No. Long and the short of it, pretty much no. Patrick, it's an hour for you to get here on the plane. Same for you, Brecky. Come on over. Come to the bash. Bring the missus.
When is it again?
11th and 12th of July, mate.
I'm going to be in the US, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a pretty thin excuse.
I'm actually going to be in London the week after, so sorry.
Actually, wait a second. In July... I'm coming, you know, I'm going for, I don't know if you guys know Nerdtacular, which is Scott Johnson's show.
It's the week before.
Exactly. So I'm
going to be back weekend,
on the 9th, I think. So I can just hop it on a plane and go to the UK.
Do it. Come. You'll love it, mate. It's a great day.
I'll think about it and talk to my wife about it. No, I don't think I can make it, but...
Well,
I could.
I've got to say, because my wife is she's not anti-tech, but she's kind of like, how do I do this with the Mac? You know, she's not a great techie or anything like that, but she really enjoyed the day, and the kids loved the day. They had a great time last year. So, you know, if she enjoyed it, it's not a horrific day. It's the wives enjoyed it immensely. It wasn't just all guys looking at images of Google. Anything else then from IO that stood out for anybody?
What does the L stand for in Android L?
We don't know
any
yet.
Guesses?
Lovely.
Lovely, lightweight, laconic.
Lollipop. It's going to be lollipop.
Yeah,
I'm thinking lollipop. Either that or lion bar.
Lion bar, you reckon?
Lion bar. Yes, KitKat lion bar. Yeah, he's right.
Do they have lion bar in the States?
Or Lindt. Do you have the Lindt chocolate? For example,
Lint. Android Lint. That would be only a few people in the world like it, but the people that do like it swear it's as good as Cadbury's.
What? Nothing Lint is delicious. What are you talking about?
Lint is
Cadbury's
disgusting.
Is kind of a masquerade of chocolate. It is not.
You're French. What the hell do you know about cuisine?
I'm.
Wow. Shots fired.
I'm just being, you know.
You're the only country in the world that puts the word the before Big Mac. Dude.
No, I think actually being basically half Finnish from my wife's side, I have to
no,
say.
No, dude, you can't. There's no blood in your veins that's Finnish because you married a Finnish woman.
I don't know what they do.
That's not the way it works.
There's a secret ritual happening in Helsinki where you have to, you know, exchange of your blood. But basically what I have to say is that Fatser chocolate is the best chocolate in the world. And it's finished,
absolutely.
So there you go.
The chat room's got off on one on L. Android love, Android lame, Android lemur.
Oh, I love, I'm voting for lemur.
I buy lemur.
Yep. Android licorice.
Ooh.
Ah. Yeah, see, yeah. If only Adam could spell licorice, that would be great. Jufro Jim says Android Lego. And no S.
Lego has been on an enormous marketing role with the associations with, like they have Lego video games like Marvel and Disney's, maybe not Disney, but, a bunch of video games with IPs, partnerships. And I could see that happen. Lego could happen.
No, it's got to be dessert, isn't it? No, lemon meringue pie.
But I'm going to go with Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms. Ah, lovely Lucky Charms. Batwin says, she's got the boot in. Android liquor. There we go.
Oh, of course.
And she can't spell liquor either. But there we go.
I've got a funny feeling people are on their Android wear smartwatches now. Google, words beginning with L.
Words beginning with L.
Chip, and I left my phone in the bathroom.
They can't have leopard, can they? So they can't have leopard. Definitely not.
No.
Did anyone
it's not edible either.
Exactly. Did anyone bring a story that's not Google
I/O? Well, I have a couple. I don't know how interesting they're going to be.
Go for it.
So I don't know if you've... There's two. There's one that's a joke, but I'm sure this audience will appreciate it. And there's one that's serious. So the serious one is so somewhat personal, but since we're all kind of in the podcasting world, it might be interesting for everyone, at least on the show. It's Patreon raising money, raising $15 million, so we can discuss that. And the other one is the Yo app in general. I don't know if you talked about it last week because it sort of broke out into a huge story a while ago, but those are the two that I thought wouldn't be brought by other people.
Well, we love Patreon. Mm. We absolutely adore Patreon. If you'd like to donate to us, then you got a Patreon. I haven't paid Patrick for that link, by the way. Patreon.com/ British Tech Network. We've got a load of people that have done it. We've got a giveaway this month. We should have some slate goes. If we don't get them this month, they'll definitely go into next month's draw. I'm going to give an Apple TV away this month if the slate goes don't turn up. So if you're a sponsor of Patreon.com, then you go into a free prize draw and you can win an Apple TV, or there's two slate goes to give away. But David at iSkelter did promise them, and I don't doubt he's going to send them to us, but it's just whether they get here in time for the draw for this month. So thanks, patreon.com. Great way of donating. And you can give us $1, you can give us $25. It's entirely, you can give us $85, which the Network Union do. They're fantastic. Thank you very much to them. But it makes a huge difference. Now Patreon had an announcement this week, and you say that they've released $15 million?
They've raised $15 million. And
$11 million, which was for Tom Merritt, of course.
I spoke to him yesterday, actually. I interviewed Tom Merritt yesterday and asked him about Patreon. And he says that it's been amazing for his career. Just the leaving Twitch was scary for him. But then finding Patreon and getting the people to fund him has been just amazing.
Well, he's getting a crazy amount of money. He's up to $10,000 a month, isn't he?
Yeah. And then that's just his own tech news show. I mean, and then he's got Cord Killers as well, which just recently, I mean, was raising more money than Cord Killers because they do a weekly thing rather than monthly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a pretty incredible thing, and it's sort of difficult to predict whether or not it's going to keep going like this and even keep growing. Or, you know, maybe it's going to be forgotten in a couple of years. But there's the exciting thing there is that, well, first of all, the money they've raised is something that's going to allow us to keep trying and to keep growing and to keep adding things that people want and that the company needs to get bigger. The second thing is they have raised money. I watched the stream and I've been talking with some of the people at Patreon as well. And they're getting money from people who understand what they want to do. And one thing that Jack Conti, the CEO, was explaining, so I don't know how much of this is, you know, PR spin and how much of it is reality, but I he's an artist himself. He feels genuine. So he was saying they were meeting with investors who were saying, you know, you're taking 5% now as your cut from the donations. Could you consider going to 10 or 15%? Because right there you have, you know, triple your revenue instantly. And he was saying, no, I don't want to do that because my goal with Patreon, and since he is an artist as well, is to try and get as much money as possible to artists so that they, and content creators in general, so that they can keep doing their thing. And I guess I should disclose the fact that I also have a Patreon operation running, so I'm also, partial.
What's the link for Patreon links for you guys?
Oh, it's only for a French show, so I don't know that it's going to be interesting to people, but it's RDV Tech. It's my French tech news show. And it's doing pretty well as well. I mean, I'm not seeing Tom numbers, but it's definitely very encouraging. And so the thing is that the main story there with that Patreon raising money is that it sort of holds the promise of not just making a little bit of money for some people, but actually disrupting the way we finance things on the internet, because that's something I've been thinking about for a while now and that everyone knows, obviously. It's the fact that for a variety of reasons, the business model of the internet is advertising. Right, that's the only way you can make money on the internet, and that has a lot of consequences of the on what you can do and the kind of content that you create and the kind of content and content creators that strive. So you have to go for a very wide audience because advertising pays so little per you know viewer or listener. So it conditions the kind of content you can do. So the promise of Patreon, which has a much bigger, hopefully, return, you know, interest from people who are participating and that manages to raise. So to give an example, my audience is roughly, I guess, you know, 15,000, maybe, you know, 10 to 20,000 people, let's say, in French. And I'm making on Patreon about $1,000 per episode I release. If you translate that to a YouTube model, in order to make the models are, you know, a little bit unclear, but the consensus is in order to make $1,000 in ad revenue, you need to reach about 1 million people for the most basic package, right? So that becomes an incredibly different proposition. I don't think I could do the show that I do, which is very, you know, specific and has a very specific approach and that pleases the people that listen to it very much on YouTube in the same way. That's just something that could not exist if I was to depend on this revenue alone. So I keep going on because it's a topic I'm very passionate about, but essentially the promise that is there in Patreon is the promise to change the revenue and the business model of the internet if you want to be a little bit of a dreamer. So that's something that's incredibly exciting and that could allow creators and artists to get some revenue in a way that is not just advertising. So
yeah,
that's my story.
If you want to know who Jack Conti is, he's one of the halves of Pamplemousse, which is another girl named Natalie Dawn who's with him as well. But Jack is, if you watch the videos that they make on YouTube, you know, he's got like an egg shaker or something for a maraca, and his whole body moves when he's doing it. He's so into it. His studio is mattresses stuck against the wall for sound damping and stuff like that. You know, he's a great, very, very talented musician. And with Natalie and Pamplemousse, they make fantastic music. And I've put it on the Making of Bagel Tech News that I did a few years ago and posted on YouTube. I stole their music and said, I did ask for permission, but they never replied. so I just thought, well, I'll take it anyway. But that's, you know, there are a ton of people, and they've got fantastic cover versions as well.
I mean,
been really great for us as well. I run a podcast network called Psycon, and we have a Patreon up at patreon.com/Psycon, C-S-I-C-O-N. And I mean, just using Patreon has allowed us to not do those standard Squarespace and Shutterstock ads that you hear everywhere else. And I mean, at the moment, we're only using one advertiser, which is Tweaked Audio, because we like their products and we want to share the Tweaked Audio experience. Yeah. Patreon is you know, that's where we get our money.
Well, we give two adverts out during the show. The first one is to UK2 because I go back to 2008 when I started podcasting, and Bandwidth was friggin' horrific. And we posted the big show, and within a few weeks, just with me and Mark doing it, we had a couple of thousand listeners, and we were looking at getting bills for Bandwidth that was that we, you know, were house payments for a monthly mortgage. So I approached UK2, and UK2 just said, yeah, that'd be great. And a guy called Eric, called Andy Manning, who's still very influential and very a good mate now, he's thoroughly backing, and he has always backed us. And everyone says to me, well, why don't we go to someone else? And you know, why don't we go to Libsyn, and why don't we go to Cashfly or something like that? It'll monitor the numbers and also give us free bandwidth. And I don't want to be honest, because when we were up against it, these guys stepped in and said, no problem. So, you know, they get us unlimited bandwidth. They get us unlimited storage. Every show we've ever produced is on the server. And I think that, personally, I believe that that deserves a little bit more than me going, do you know what? We can get it elsewhere now, so sod off. Because in 2008, no, I mean, you saved our ass. Thank you, UK too.
And to be honest, the thing is, advertising as a business model is not going away. I would even suggest that if you want to get into the really big bucks thing, then it's probably advertising that's going to be the way to go. But
yeah, that and products.
Yeah.
So, but it allows for something more and different that is that could potentially spring a bunch of things that weren't really possible before.
Yeah. No, I think the only people that actually give us any money is the network union. The other adverts, you know, they pay for their advertising, most definitely. UK2 just give us an alleviation of cost. So, and network union do too as well.
From my perspective, I guess, with something like Patreon, this is probably the first time I've actually heard about it. But when you imagine of all the other services that you have heard of, they are very sort of bite-sized. Mm. So they're all about raising large sums for immediate returns. They're not about sort of long-term investment in something that you're actually passionate about. So, I mean, it's a really nice proposition. And I think it is something that more people should be aware of if they're looking to support the things that they consume on the web. Just solely relying on advertising is a bit shit, to be honest. from the perspective of a consumer, they should be a little bit more sort of upfront with things they enjoy consuming, I guess.
Well, we've got I subscribe to a professional magazine for a qualification that I had years ago, and that magazine circulates to 15,000 people per month. And a full page advertisement in there is £1,700. And you're kind of like, dude, I'm going to break. Tonight's show will go out to 18 to 26,000 people. The Mac show goes out to 40,000 people each week. That is infinite. What you're saying there for your printed shit magazine, that most people take it and they shake it over the bin to get all the little flyers that are stuffed in it out. And then they sit and they thumb through, go to the court reports, and then that's it, they're off.
You know,
that's horrific.
It's a conversation I've been so in podcasting for a while, and I've tried to go to announcers and advertisers and try to explain all this to them at a time when they were still paying, you know, 4,000 euros for a half a page in a magazine that would get a print run of maybe 20,000 people and an actual readership that was, I don't know, 10,000. And I could offer them a listenership of 20 to 25,000 for a quarter of that price and a very captive listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Very
and,
engaged.
They just did not understand. It did not compute. It's anyway.
Well, they then go on to return on investment. Because they can measure it, they think that unless you can measure the response based on that. And we've had a few people who've come in and said, well, what's the return on the investment? We'll put a link up, and if we don't get anything on the link, then you can sod off. We're not paying you.
So that's kind of what Patreon brings. It's like, well, actually, you're the ones who can sod off. I'm just going to do it with people who care about what I do and who... You know, I understand it's not easy to build an actual a following that's large enough to finance your operation. And the way Tom Merritt is doing it is mind-boggling, but he certainly has a very wide followership. But the promise is there, the potential is there, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah, all you need is 1,000 true fans, like Kevin Kelly talks about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we've got donations from $1 up to $85 in ours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's fantastic. Thank you very much to those people. Yeah. Anyone else with another story?
I just want to say one last thing on Patreon.
Okay.
It's a very special feeling to get money from people who actually put their wallet out and say, I'm going to give you my hard-earned cash. Sure. Because I love what you do and I trust you and I want to support you. It's an incredible experience. So that's also something that should not be forgotten in that form.
I think having done the Daily Show for 3.5 years, every day I did the Daily Show, and it was 3 hours per day to make the show. There's nothing worse than sitting behind a microphone, trying to be jovial and happy and getting yourself up for presenting something, and then you just hear nothing. It's just static for the next few weeks.
Yep.
And when I started, I wrote to Emma MacArthur and said, I'm going to do this. What do you think? And I did like 2 weeks of broadcasting. And then I was just kind of like, I've had no emails. I've had nothing back. You know, what's the point? And then all of a sudden, I'm podcast of the week on Net at Night. And I'm like, wow, shit. So I better start making some more then. And then that was it. It just went vertical from there. So it was well worth it. The people that do support us, Patreon, is the network union. They provide us with the pipes that get the shows out through the door for the live shows to you guys. And also they give us a donation to run the Patreon competition and to keep Patreon going for us. Who are they? Well, if you work with a large IT company, then they can help you. BT, MPLS, WAN, SIP systems, any Ethernet connectivity that you've got, these are the guys you want to talk to. It doesn't matter whether you're an existing BT customer or whether you're a brand new customer and you want to join up through the network union. They don't influence your account with BT, if you like. You'll still pay the money to BT, but what you'll have is an extra layer of support that sits in between you and BT that is provided by the network union. Nothing changes, same contracts, all of that stuff will be fine, but they can help you with your use of the service that BT can provide you, maximising it, if you like. If you're an SME with a business broadband, you can check out for fibre upgrades, call packages, anything like that, BT Office 365. All of the stuff can be supported through the network union. So go to British.network/sponsors, and on there you'll see the network union's address. Go there, give them your email address. They will only contact you to say, how can we help? Once you say, I'm sorry, I don't think you can help me, if that's the case, then they will never contact you again using that email address. It's not stored, it's not used for marketing, and they do not sell it on to anyone else. So you're just suing them and saying, look, I'm not sure whether you can help me. They'll tell you whether they can help you. Go and talk to them. And I've got to say, Robert is absolutely fantastic bloke. I put him onto my accountant the other week because my accountant's getting a load of grief off the dickheads that he buys his service off. Through BT, and he's got a BT service, but he bought it through one of these agencies, and they're a bunch of wankers, absolutely. Robert stepped him out and said, this is what we can do. Athos said, yeah, that's great. We'll sort it out. We'll come with you. So they're a really great bunch. I can promise you. I can definitely tell you that you're onto a winner if you go with them. So the Network Union, thank you very much for their support, because we couldn't do shows without people looking after us. Thank you very much. Right. Have we got any cool things? Brecky, start us off, old boy.
Wow. I really don't have anything cool this week. No. The coolest thing that I have is basically that we're launching a new show on my network this Sunday called British Android Havoc.
But you're not British.
My co-host is.
Ah, it's not good enough.
It's his show.
There's a connection, at least. That's good.
Right. Well, actually, most people on my network are Brits. I think there's 5 of us who aren't, and the rest are all Brits.
My earphones have come out. I can't hear a damn word. Keep talking, for Christ's sake.
Don't go wrong.
What's going on there?
Oh, bugger.
Did we just kill the show?
No. It's all right. My earphones come out, and I've lost the little rubbery bit that keeps it in my ear.
Aww.
And then when it's gone, I think it's down my trousers.
Use the cock
ring. That's what she said. That's what she said.
She said. Oh, mate, it's gone forever now.
I think anytime, you know, there's anything that happens that you want to, you know, fill up the silence, you can say that's what she said, and it works.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. I've only got one earpiece in there, so.
That's what she said.
Callum, did you bring a cool thing, sir?
I did a bit of last minute digging, to be honest, when I was told that Google I.O. was out of bounds. Two things. I don't know which one's going to be more interesting, or if any are interesting at all. The first one, sticking with mobile, was Nokia X and the new devices they've launched. The other one was the fact that there are rumors floating around that Bing is no longer going to suck outside of the USA, which is something that's very apparent in the UK.
No, I think, you know, That second one obviously is totally unbelievable and not credible. So let's just, you know, that's ridiculous.
I'm not buying it, no.
Patrick's right, yeah.
It's been horrendous anywhere other than the US for a long time. So you normally see these great announcements happening, new updates, and then unfortunately you realize the majority of them are actually US only. So yeah, no news specifically in relation to that, but there are rumors. I guess so. It's probably the first story then. Nokia X. Has anyone read up on that this week then?
No,
yeah, it's not new. That's Microsoft's first Nokia phone, and it's Android.
It's Android, yeah. It's just skinned as Windows, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Nokia X2, actually. The first one has been out for, I don't know, 2-3 months, maybe a little bit more. It was the Project Normandy that we had heard about before Microsoft was buying Nokia. And it was like, so what are they going to do with a Nokia phone that's actually Android?
Release it on June 6th.
They're releasing it, yeah. But the thing is, it is Android underlying, you know, the whole system. It is almost a fork of Android, you know. It looks almost like Windows Phone, and it's also very much integrated with Microsoft services. So the way they described it, maybe as a little bit of a cop-out, was this is a way to get people into the Microsoft ecosystem and cheaper. The question is, can't you run Windows Phone, which is free for you since you're, you know, part of Microsoft, on those cheaper devices? So there's a little bit of an inconsistency, but it's not like all of a sudden Microsoft started selling phones with Android, you know, stock Android, and that would be a little bit different. Also, by the way, Microsoft is making money through patents on Android, a lot more money than they're making on Windows Phone. So that's also an interesting point to make there.
Oh, good one. Yes, excellent. Are. Patrick, have you got something that's cool for us?
My thing was Patreon, but okay. I can find something else.
No, that's fine. If your thing was Patreon, we had a good discussion about that, and Patreon was excellent, so thank you. Righty, what's your cool thing, boy?
Well, I put it on the BTN site this week. Does anyone remember the name Jolly Cloud?
Yes.
They had a little cloud-based operating system maybe about a couple of years ago. And it was one you could access through the web, or you could install it on the kind of any device you like. But they discontinued it. I didn't realize. But they released a thing called Jolly Cloud Drive. And you're going, oh, yes, the Jolly Drive and 5 gig of storage and all that. But no, actually what it does is you can actually pull in all of your storage devices like Dropbox, SugarSync, Google Drive, everything into one app. So you can actually install the Jolly Cloud Drive onto iOS, and you can actually browse all your documents and everything. So I think I've got it here. It's Dropbox, Google Drive, Facebook, YouTube, everything into one app. And it's really clever. It's free for the basic version. If you want to pay £5 a month for the professional version, you can drag and drop files between different services and things like that, and have more than one login for a specific service. But if you want all of your cloud devices in one place for free, then Jolly Cloud Drive is a pretty good bet, actually. You see here, you got Box, Evernote, everything.
Yeah.
One app, all in one place, for free, not bad at all.
No, well done.
I find the idea great, but it worries me how easy it makes it to forget where your files are actually located.
Well, like, my problem was, is where are all my files? And I've got like 12 apps for all the kind of cloud services I've got, and I'm like, I've got one to kind of track them all down, so.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Is there a cross-network search? I mean, if you know the file name, can you search whether it's in Google Drive or if it's in Dropbox or anywhere else?
If you pay for the pro service, yes, £5 a month. $5 a month, sorry.
Okay, good one, mate. Well done. Now then, my cool thing. Oh, this is really cool. And it's going to rush you £45. So it's not always that cheap, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Now, those of you that know me know that I fly these things. Okay, I build them myself from scratch, and I fly them. So this is my quadcopter, and I put my GoPro on little stands that mount underneath. Well, I found this one. You can get it at Goodbye. You can get it at a whole load of other Chinese places. It's a brushless gimbal, but it's plug and play, which means that all you've got to do is switch it into some power and it sits and runs. There's no screwing around with PID files in Android and all that. Not Android, in what's the other system? Arduino stuff. So it's dead easy. And here it is, look. And if I take the power lead and connect it up here, there we go. Eventually, after a couple of seconds, it wobbles like that because it hasn't got a camera in it. But it doesn't wobble. It emits a high-pitched whine. Let me go and get a camera. I hadn't thought about this, have I?
That's what she said.
Patrick, you're a git. I wish you had to leave early.
That's what she said.
Oh dear. Preparation and planning. There we go, that's the key. So let me put a GoPro in, because that'll make the world a difference to this. But no, this thing's £45. If you go on a lot of the sites that and you put it in, you'll find it on eBay as well. You'll pay a bit more on eBay, but it'll give you the version number that you can then do a Google search, and you'll get it from Goodbye and those kind of places. So you take your GoPro and you stick it in, and then you make the connection up. Here we go. Have we stopped broadcasting for some reason?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. That's crazy.
The live tag is still there. It's just frozen.
Yeah, no, it's for some reason it stopped. There we go. And we're back. So here you go. Here's me thing, me quadcopter. So I take that and I plug it in there. Oh, there we go. And you wait a couple of seconds. There we go. Now, it emits a pitched whine, which is a bit of a pain in the arse if you want to do a new sound recording, but here you go. Look, you move your quadcopter around, and because it's a brushless gimbal, it is absolutely uber smooth. Your quadcopter can fly anywhere you like, and the camera will always stay facing front. That is pretty cool, isn't it? You've got to admit that.
It is cool.
Yeah. It doesn't move at all. It's absolutely stable. And like I say, there's no messing around with PID files and that kind of stuff in Arduino. So it's dead easy. The only problem is it emits a high-pitched whine. The other thing that you can do is, because it comes with a pre-frame attached, providing you make yourself a little stand, you can make a handheld one dead easy so you can film stuff, and it comes out super stable. If you go to the British Tech Network YouTube channel, there's a video on there I made from the carnival at the local village this weekend, and I managed to fly this and shot some of the footage using this thing, and it is super, super stable.
It's like a Steadicam, but cooler.
And £45. GoPro not included.
Very cool.
There you go.
Actually, I have a cool thing.
Go for it.
I'm allowed
to. That's what you
said. it's a little bit of a brag. It's my internet connection, which allows me to get 185 megs down.
Hang on, where's how do I cut him off?
That's right. Oh. That's right. I'm bringing it.
20 up. That's nothing.
Does someone have Google Fiber or something?
No, I've got 100 down, 100 up.
How much?
100 up, 100 down.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, so he's done you on the down.
Yeah, not on the up.
But not on the up.
That's fine. But yeah, and how much are you paying for it, though?
Let me see. It's the equivalent of...
a bottle of milk.
About 35 British pounds per month.
No! Okay.
All right. I'm paying about 25 or 30 a month. It's 40 euros.
Oh, nice.
Neither of you two are coming back on the show ever again. Where can we get a hold of you, though, Brecky?
Maybe it's Bibby's desk. Come on.
And as you can hear, Paul writes on absolutely soddle down and soddle up.
He's on a potato.
He's come speed testing.
He's on a cup with a piece of string attached.
He's on a potato.
Batwitch says, and a good day is 1.5 down.
You know, I used to be in that world a while ago, and now I'm just like ecstatic because, yeah.
I spit on the people.
Back in the 90s, I suffered the same problem.
You are a 1.5. I spit on you. Let them eat cake.
Exactly.
Brecky, where are you, sir?
Cycon.net. That's CSICON.net. That's where all my podcasts live.
Excellent, mate. At Brecky on.
Brecky T with a T at the end.
On Twitter. Well done, mate.
Yeah, BREKIT.
Callum, are you pissed yet, boy?
Well on the way. Well,
good
the way.
Lad.
Bottle's gradually leaking.
Where can we get a hold of you? Apart from with a hangover tomorrow morning. No drug and alcohol testing at your place, is there?
I hope not. It's civil service, so I'm slightly worried.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I blog. But yeah, internet wise, not great. I'm sitting on about 20 meg at the moment. So
yeah, but where can we get a hold of you, dude? You're in the ethic of the show, at least.
I blog at callumshepard.com if you need to get in touch.
Good man. And you're at Callum Shepard on Twitter.
Yes.
Good man. Patrick, where are you, sir?
I am not Patrick on Twitter. I know it's confusing, but it's. You know, memorable, so not Patrick.
Is that to do with when you wear the pantyhose?
No comment.
That's Patrice.
And swap blood with a Finnish woman. Jesus.
the pantyhose thing, we're trying to forget. It was another life. If you're French or if you speak French, you might enjoy some of the shows I do on frenchspin.com. That's my... the shows I produce are hosted there.
We've got a show title. It's rather long, though. I'm writing it out now. Well done,
that's
mate.
What you said.
And Righty, where are you, sir?
Hello, mate. Paul is on Twitter and here on this fine network that is British Tech Network and reviewing again.
And again, you're reviewing, good man. We like reviews. We've got some reviews of MacPaw, haven't we? Because we've given the three licenses away, but they've sent you some stuff to review.
They have, yes. All coming very, very soon.
Yes, good man. Well done. And you're coming to the bash as well with Jim, and it'll be a fun day.
Yeah, me and Jim will be on a blooming 5 a.m. train. I'll help you set up as well.
Only 16 days to the bash.
16 days? Really?
Yeah, you better get your train tickets, mate. 16 days to the bash, and you'll be here drinking beer with me.
There
you go. Yeah. Bash tickets, britishnetwork.com/bash tickets. Get your ticket, get yourself down here, have the best curry you ever tasted, and a wonderful day with a whole group of like-minded people. My name's Ewan Rankin, you can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week on Thursday at the normal time work, meeting of course. And we've got the Mac Show tomorrow with Andy Anatko and Brian Chaffin and some other people as well. So come along and have a good time. See you tomorrow at 3:30. 3 o'clock even. Oh. Thanks for listening.